Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence, Father God. For, Father, we know that where your presence is, the enemy can't encamp around us. That he has no rule and reign over us. So, Father, we thank you that you are in total control. You have saved us. You have called us. And you have a plan for us. And let us be earnest and attentive to your plan. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we started on a series of the harvest. God is looking for harvesters. How many of you know that? How many of you know what a harvester is? Nobody knows what a harvester is? Okay. A harvester, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he shall provide laborers. What he's talking about there, he's talking about souls. He's saying the harvest of souls is ready and ripe for the picking to bring into my kingdom. But there's few that will work with me, is what he's actually saying here. Now, he's saying that then, he's saying that today. When you look at what he said back then, he said it during a time where there was an earnest uprising and oppression against the Israelites, against the Gentiles. But he said it anyhow. When you look at today, there's nothing but evil that is so prevalent. I mean, I don't think any of us have lived in such an evil atmosphere as what's going on now. And so, but the Bible says wherever evil abounds, wherever sin abounds, the grace of God will abound that much greater. It is through God's unadulterated grace that by faith people get saved. But people are going to get saved, and the picking is found to bring them into the fold, into the kingdom, can only be done through you and through me. You are going to discover that God has created you to go save souls. Not for anything else, to go save souls. So when you hear the story of the harvest, that the harvest is plentiful, it's ripe for the picking, even though you may say, man, it's bad out there. Well, the pressure of societal evil is so prevalent, people are so desperate, so blinded, but Jesus said, that's when all of a sudden it's the ripest. Go get them. Go bring them in because I want them to be part of my kingdom, if you will. Amen. You know, last week I shared with you about Jonah. And I showed you that God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, thank you. And he ran the other way. Well, God didn't go and get a substitute for Jonah, did he? Because you have to understand, Jonah was the guy that God had placed his word in or his utterance in. Jonah held the authority of the spoken word to bring conviction to the Ninevites. Even though he said no, God went after him with a heavy storm. God knocked him off his high horse, so to speak, because God wasn't going to substitute him with anyone else. So he goes to the Ninevites. The Bible actually ends the story saying when he finally came to his senses that God was being serious with him, that he better not run any further. It said that he took a 3-day journey and he turned it into one day. He ran and he got to the Ninevites. He shared the word of God with them. Conviction came on the anointing of his words. They all got saved. They turned it around and he relented. God didn't kill them as he said that he would. Amen. But here's what I really want you to see this morning. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God is saying, I always was, I am, and I always will be. So when you understand that, when you come to the story of Jonah, God was able to look before the world began. God was able to look into history, and he knew in advance that the Ninevites were going to be a perverse generation or culture. He knew that they were going to be an evil, vile, venomous culture. So what did God do? As he looked into history, he also recognized, I need to create a man so as to carry my word and bring healing to them if they will repent. So God created Jonah, and he already saw in advance that one day Jonah would be the one that was going to bring and carry the mail of God's word. All that said, God looked into history. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He looked in the history of time. He saw 2019, and he saw that there were going to be the Joneses and the Smiths and all the different people that are alive today in our time zone on the earth. And he saw that they were going to go down a very wide road of eternal damnation. So you know what God did? God created each and every one of us. You have been uniquely created by God for no other reason but to carry the utterance of God into the jurisdictional area where God has placed you. You are here for no other reason but for the ministry to go and win the lost, to take those that the harvest is ready and bring the souls into the kingdom of God. When you were born, you were born with the original sin of Adam. That's why you had such a desire for the things of this world, because sin was your nature, is still your nature. But when you got saved, then all of a sudden, everything turned around. The Bible says that you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and all things have become anew. And at that very moment of time of your accepting Christ, something else happened. You exchanged your citizenship. You are no longer a citizen of this world. You are a citizen of heaven. You are now a representative of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what Jesus says to do, you listen. And as you listen, you are now bringing the instruction and pleading to others to come and join the kingdom of God with you. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, it says that the footsteps of the righteous are appointed of God. Your footsteps are already appointed the moment you were born. And then again, the moment you were born again, now your footsteps are appointed to go into the regions where God has called you. Every one of us have a region. My region is not your region. My region is not just here. My region is where I worked. It's where I in my neighborhood. It's in the society as to wherever I go, wherever I place my feet. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, wherever I place my feet, it is mine for the taking. I have authority to take over that area and overcome those principalities. So when you got born again, you have the right and you have been given the mandate to go into your neighborhood, your family, your society, your workplace, where you may go to school, whatever. You have that right to go in and carry the instruction of the gospel and win the lost. That is exactly what God has for us. Amen. But every one of us, we have a unique ministry, and that is to go and be harvesters, to harvest souls. So I want to show you some things. I want to show you the main ministry that God has called us to. Paul the Apostle alludes to it and lets us know about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Here's what it says. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled. Reconciled means to bring back, okay, to draw back, to bring healing, to restore. Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry, there it is, church, the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, the mantle has been passed, the word of reconciliation. God himself came in the form of Christ, and he came specifically to restore humanity back to himself. For those who would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, their sins would be forgiven and forgotten. They would not be imputed unto them. Now they would be as you and I, when you accept Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ covers your nature, covers your old nature, covers your sin nature. You are forgiven and your sins are totally forgotten, cast into the sea of forgetfulness. But now we come to find God has now given to you and I, He has passed the mantle over to us that we would go and we will share this word of reconciliation with others. Amen? The word of reconciliation means to pass the truth of the gospel. Simply let it be known to wherever you go, open up your mouth and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through Him. He came, He lived amongst mankind, He was brutalized, persecuted, He was put to death, He was buried, but He rose again. And therefore He arose into the heavens, He now sits at the right hand of the Father, and He constantly intercedes, He's constantly constantly praying for all humanity, that they will come to know Him, that they will not die and go into eternal damnation. That is what it's all about. So God has called us to be part of this ministry of reconciliation, to go out and witness to the lost. You might say, well, that's not for me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. No, but you are an ambassador. If you have accepted Christ, you have become an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador of Christ means that you are going to go and you are going to share what heaven has to say. You are going to bring an appeal to heaven, to earth, and let people on earth know that even in your own family, I want you to hear this, even in your own family, you don't open your mouth, they're going to hell. That's as clear as I can make it for you. If you don't open your mouth and share the truth of what has saved you, they're going to hell. You won't see it right now, but one day you'll have tears in your eyes because you won't see them with you if you are a born-again believer. So Christ has called us to go out and save all the people that we have been given this region, this jurisdictional region, where He has empowered us, given us an utterance, go out and speak the truth. That's the whole simple truth in a nutshell of why we are here. So He tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Ultimately, what God wants, He wants every man, every woman, every child, when they come to an age of accountability, He wants them to know the truth, that they can have the choice and make a decision to accept Him or deny Him. And therefore, that only happens by the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to you and I. We say, well, Jesus is going to come and He's going to witness. No, He's not going to witness. He came one time, once and for all. He's not coming back. He's not going to go face to face with anybody. He's not going to speak into their hearts and try to get them to. He's looking for you to do it. He's looking for you to do it. He wants you and I to do it. And you know, and some people say, well, where am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to go to do this? Well, it tells us very clear in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It said, you shall go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. You say, well, I don't want to go to Jerusalem. I don't want to go to Samaria. I don't want to go to Judea. Well, those are symbolic statements as to where you are to go. Jerusalem is your home. It's where you live. It's your family. God wants you to practice. He wants you to go to your home. He wants you to open up your mouth and speak truth to your family, to your children, to your spouse, to your aunt, your uncle, your niece, your nephew, grandmother, grandfather, whomever is in your home. And if you show him that you're willing to not be ashamed of him and you speak about him, then he's going to take you and he's going to bring you to Judea. Now listen, when you speak the word to your family, the word will not return void. The word may not immediately take in their hearts for you to see anything. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to show you at the end how you do this, but you stay with them. You stay with them. Somebody else will come and water that seed that has been placed. But God will begin to bring the growth in them. Amen? And so you go from Jerusalem to Judea. Judea is wherever you place your feet, outside the headquarters of your intimate world of your family. If you're going into the, if you go into the neighborhood, or you go into a workplace, or wherever, go into a store, wherever you go, God's expecting you to be His mouthpiece. And when you go and you speak, you let them know Jesus loves you. If somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, I'm really hurting. I'm in a troubled situation. Please don't do this. Don't give them a Gesundheit. You know what that is? Somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you. Somebody tells us how hurting they are, how broken they are. You know what we do? Well, I'll pray for you. No, you won't. No, you won't. You say that because it makes you look so religious and holy. But the truth of the matter is, most times when somebody's hurting, we don't give them any more time than what we're giving them as to when we come before them and listen to their sob story. Don't give them a Gesundheit. You have to go and you have to minister to them, witness to them, help them, stay with them, strengthen them along the way. And as you do, you are going to see they're going to have confidence in you. Amen? Then you can start sharing the gospel truth. Then you can start sharing about Jesus Christ. So you go to Judea. And once you have proven to God that you are bold enough to go to Judea, outside the core of your home, He'll send you to Samaria. Samaria is where the enemy camp is at. Samaria is where people don't like you. People don't care about you whatsoever because they remember who you once were. Maybe you hurt some feelings. Maybe you hurt some families. And so your enemies are those who they don't want nothing to do with you. They don't want to see you. They don't want to hear about your name. But God will send you there because now, you see, you're as bold as a lion. You've already gone to your family. You've already gone out of the outstretch of your home. And now you're going to go to enemy camp. And God is going to show you off as a light into the darkness. God is going to show you off so He can show them what He can do with a piece of raggedy coal and how He can make a beautiful nugget of a person. And He will show the that individual or those people how beautiful you can be when God has His hand on you. Amen? And then He says this, and I will be with you unto the ends of the earth. You know what He's saying there? If you would do what I created you to do, then whatever you put your hands to do, I will prosper it. You never have to worry. It won't be about you. It'll be about me because you are fulfilling your ambassadorship the way I wanted you to. Amen? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we beg you, he's saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I'm begging you, come into the fold. You see Paul's heart here? Okay? Listen, if you don't fulfill your, if you don't open your mouth and share the gospel truth with others, you are not fulfilling your ambassadorship, and you are absolutely not fulfilling the proclaim of your new nature, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you remember what I told you quite so many weeks ago, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are the workmanship of God. Look at it here. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for, say it with me, good works. And read the rest. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before the world began, God, who is always was, is, and will be, looked into the future, saw 2019, and saw people that are going to go to hell. People in your family, people in your neighborhood, people in your workplace, wherever you're at, they're on the road to destruction. So He created you as He saw it in advance, knowing that He was going to create you to be His minister of reconciliation. And He already had planned, as He already appointed your footsteps and anointed you, He already gave you the mandate that He has prepared long beforehand, good works that you should walk in them. The works are already designed for your life. That God wants you to be a part of His ministry, to go and reconcile the lost. That's what that's saying. The word workmanship, as you know, it means a masterpiece. God the Father has put us on the potter's wheel. He's removing all the stony things out of our hearts. Amen? And He's creating us to be a masterpiece, which means you are unique. You are unique in the eyes of God. You only have one DNA. Nobody else is ever going to have it. You have only one set of fingerprints. Nobody else is going to ever have the same. You are unique in the eyes of God. And if you don't know that you are a masterpiece with a masterpiece type of ministry that God has given you to go into a certain region that nobody else is going to go, God wants you to speak to people nobody else is going to speak to. If you don't know that you are a masterpiece, then you're not going to think like a masterpiece. And if you don't think like a masterpiece, then you are not going to act like a masterpiece. And if you don't act like a masterpiece, you are going to act outside the perimeter of what God had intended for you, which means that you are going to hide the truth. You are not going to speak the truth to others, and they will die and go to hell. And Ezekiel says, God said through Ezekiel the prophet, their blood is going to be upon your head. Because you didn't fulfill what I had created you to fulfill along the way. We are ambassadors for Christ. Why is that so important for us to know? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. Look what Jesus says. He said, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You keep your mouth closed here, I'll keep my mouth closed there. Amen. You know, we have a tendency, we are a bless me, bless me, bless me type of people. All day long, for all year long. Bless me, Jesus, bless me. I need help here, I need help there, I need this miracle. But yet, you never notify anyone else about the God that you are praying to. You become a little bit like Peter. Peter turned around and had an intimate relationship with Christ. But when the rubber met the road, and Jesus was being persecuted, he was being with the thorns upon his head. In that inner chamber, they were pulling and tugging at his face, pulling out his beard and hitting him over the head. Peter was out by a campfire and everybody started to say, hey, wait a minute, you were with him. He said, I don't even know this man. Well, that's kind of what happens with us. Because I want you to know, the moment a problem hits, the moment a circumstance hits our life or our family, we run the church. And we're crying out, Jesus, I need help. I need help. Help me, Lord. Help me. And then you turn around. On the next day, you go to work. And you turn around and say, I don't even know this man. Now, you may not say that, but his name never comes up. And because his name never comes up out of your mouth in front of an audience where God has already positioned you beforehand, that he's already created good works beforehand for you, because you haven't opened your mouth, here's what he says. When you deny me before men, then one day your petition of what you're requesting for me to do, your appeal is going to come before me. Amen? Please understand, anything you pray for on this earth, it has to go through Jesus Christ. All power and authority has been given unto me, Jesus said. Amen? So every good gift that you are looking for from above has to come through Jesus. He has to sign off on it. That's why when you pray, you always pray in the name of Jesus. Because you think the Father is going to do it, but the Father has given all rights over to His Son. So now you put a petition before God. You need an absolute miracle, a breakthrough. And you come to find that here it comes before the Father. The Father says to the Son, what do you think, Jesus? Jane and John Doe are in absolute need of a breakthrough. And the Son will say, well, Dad, here's how it is. They go to church every Sunday. When they leave the church, I never hear my name. When they go out to eat in the several different restaurants that they have the habit of going to, they never let the waitress or the waiter ever know that they're church people, that they love me. They never let them know anything. They don't even leave a track card. And when they go to work the next day, my name never comes up. So, Dad, I'm going to pass on this one. I don't want us to give them more so that they can continue to forget us more with what we give them. We're not going to do it. That's why Jesus turned around and said, if you deny me before men, you're not getting anything from me, because ultimately I created you to be my ambassador. That's why he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that it has been committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Go and teach and preach, not teach or preach, but share the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify, keep the Lord front and center in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. In other words, you are to be able to respond to anybody that questions you about anything about God immediately, whatever the season, whatever the reason. You are to share it. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, why is it that you always have a smile on your face through every storm? Why do you have this peace about you, this joy about you? How do I get saved? How do I know if I have the presence of God? I've been in a Catholic church or a Presbyterian church or whatever church, but I've never really sensed his presence. How do I know that? Well, if they ask you these questions, don't give them my telephone number and say, call my pastor, as most people do. No, you are to be ready and able to respond in season when the question comes up, that you let them know of this hope that is before you. Amen? See, that's why it says in 1 Peter 2:9, it said, but you are a chosen generation. We are a chosen generation. You know what that means? We're the creme de la creme of all generations. We are it. We are the final generation. This world is about to pass away, and there are souls needing to be harvested. And God is looking to us to do the work that is necessary. Because I always say we are the final generation. People say, well, why do you always say that? Well, maybe because I always knew something. But I know something even more. I know that when President Trump had proclaimed Jerusalem to be the headquarters, the capital of all Israel, it was the setting of where now they are starting to construct the temple, and Jesus Christ is coming in, and he's going to come in through the eastern gate in all of his glory into that temple. The time is short. The time is ready. The time is ripe. You need to stop shutting your mouth. You need to stop believing the church is nothing more than coming in and sitting and warming a pew and forgetting about the reality of who you really are. It's time to go out and win the lost. Time to go out and be soul winners. Amen? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's a masterpiece thing. You are above all. You are elite above all society. That's who you are. You are a holy nation, which means you are peculiar. You are absolutely, completely honorable and highly recognized. You are distinct because you are God's own special people. Amen? But at the end of that verse, you come to find out, asking the question, well, why, God, did you call me? Why did you create me, Lord? Why did you save me? Here it is, verse 9. That you may proclaim. Everybody say, you may proclaim. That means open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and let your vocal cords start to flow words. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you don't open your mouth, then you are not fulfilling the obligation of your ambassadorship and of that of being a royal priesthood and a holy nation. It doesn't mean anything, because you are not doing what God had intended for you to do from the onset. God demands we proclaim him. We proclaim him. Go wherever he sends you to go in your locale and speak the truth, and don't just give him a gesundheit. Don't just say bless you and walk away. That man right there. Okay, Brian Froch. I've known him for a number of years. He worked for me for a number of years. But that was many moons ago. And so the many moons in between of him working and my not seeing him again were many, many years. But when I saw him again, he was beat up. I honestly didn't recognize him. He had lost a lot of weight. He was grungy looking. He had a baseball hat on, and you can see the depression on his face because the hat was down. We weren't in a church, were we? We were in the meat market of La Casanos, my home away from home. And I saw him, and I didn't know him. But the face looked familiar. But I didn't know the name. And he said, "You don't know me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he gave me his name, and then, of course, I saw him, but I saw a whole different person. And as I'm talking, just, you know, general conversation with him, the Lord's speaking to me and says, "I want him restored. I want him restored." So you know what? I didn't give him a gesundheit. I didn't go up and just say, "Well, you know, I hope everything goes well for you," and walk away like most people do. I stayed with him. I stayed with him. I stayed true to the plan. I continued. Is there anything I can do for you? And I stayed with him. And I wanted his telephone number. And I gave him my telephone number. And I said, "Listen, I want you to come to the church. We have things going on at the church. We have food there." I wasn't just bringing him in just to hear spiritual manna. I wanted to take care of him. So I was telling him that we have things at the church and maybe we can help you out a little bit. He didn't come the next Sunday. So what'd I do, Brian? I called him. I stayed on him hot and heavy. I wasn't going to let him go. And I stayed on him, and I got him to come. And once he came, little by little by little by little, you started to see. And there was a time, I'll say this, he needed something in the line of food. I went to the store, and I got it, and I brought it to him. You've got to do anything and everything to win somebody either over to the Lord or bring them back to the Lord. There are people out there that are broken. You don't give them a gesundheit because God will slap you in the face. Because ultimately, Jesus Christ didn't give us a gesundheit. He went all the way with it and died on the cross. And he's expecting, as an ambassador, that you show the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ to everyone else. And look at him today. He is so different. And in what you see is nothing as to what he's going to be, because God has a tremendous plan of what he's going to do in his life. Amen? We are to proclaim the name of Jesus. How is it that we can go around as Steeler Nation and we can talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers 24/7? And I know some of you do. I know some people that I hang with, that's all they talk about. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They listen, they read the newspaper, they listen to the articles in the paper, they listen to the television programs and the sports analysis that are talking about the Steelers. And all the stuff that's going on TV and whatever, it's all about the Steelers. When it's the Steeler season, I mean, it's an all-time hype. If the Steelers are in the Super Bowl, sorry, Jesus, you got to go sit in the corner. It's all about the Steelers today. Everybody comes in with all their T-shirts, what have you, right? But even when it's not the season, like right now, they're on vacation. People are still talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But how can you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers 24/7 and Jesus' name never comes up more than once or twice in an entire year? Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem. And the truth is, you will always have your point of discussion, something that you believe in and something you have interest in. Most people don't have an interest in Christ. They come and sit in a church because it's the religious thing to do. They come once in a while because they're not really sold out to Jesus Christ. How can you go and win a soul when you show that you are not even sold out to Jesus Christ? You've got to be completely embedded with him. Amen? Anybody remember the show Charlie's Angels? 1970 to 1981. Three beautiful ladies. They were the frontal of the entire show. And they were the ones that were like police officers. They carried pistols. Then you had Charlie. Charlie was the headquarters voice to them. They never, ever, ever, ever saw his face in 11 years. on TV, of course. And he would tell them what to do. Here's a criminal, a rapist, a murderer, a thief, a mugger, whatever. And they would go, and at the end of the show, they would have nabbed the perpetrator. But again, they never saw Charlie's face. But they fulfilled the obligation to satisfy his intent. The word angel in the Bible means messenger. We are to carry out the message to satisfy Jesus' intent. Amen? And along the way, we've never seen him. We've never seen Jesus. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8, even though you have yet to see him, you love him. Because he first loved you. Amen? Right now we see him through a fogged glass. But we are going to see him in all of his glory. So the question I pose before you here this morning is simply this. Are you willing to turn it around and be a representative for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go and absolutely tell people of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you? Are you willing to talk about him? And I'm not talking about him here in the church. We all talk about Jesus in the church, one to another. I'm talking about when you go out there in the highways and the byways, wherever you see somebody's in need, and not give them a Gesundheit. Go up to them and love on them and show them the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. The harvest is plentiful. Amen? And if you will do that, I want you to know something. There's a twofold to it. If you do what you have already been created to do, then you're going to get God's undivided attention. And God is going to take care of your every need. Because you're taking care of the needs of others and you're reconciling them back to the Father. And if that happened, then you would be as like Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel and be a harvester. You cannot be ashamed of your relationship with Christ and be a harvester. You cannot be kind of wishy-washy in your relationship with Christ and be a harvester. People will see right through you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. And so I'm going to set a challenge before you now. I'm going to set a challenge that the Lord laid on my heart as even before he started this whole process with me. And here's the challenge, because many of you have never done this. You have 1 year from today's the 3rd, March 3rd, 2019, to March 3rd, 2020, to go out. It's a twofold process. Part A is to go out and minister to somebody who needs Jesus. Go out and witness to them. And don't give them a Gesundheit. Go out there and love on them. Go out there and see. Win them over in fellowship, in friendship. Jesus was a friend to sinners. He didn't immediately go there and start preaching the gospel. He went there and took care of their earthly needs. He went there and he fed them. He went there and he partied with them. He went there and he dined with them. He went there and he gained their confidence with them. Then as they continued to come and close in on him, he began to teach them and teach them about the Heavenly Father. So when you go and you find a soul that is in need, you start out in your home. You go to your children. Some are so ashamed of the gospel, they don't even tell their children about Jesus. And I want you to know what's going to happen. Your children are going to go to hell. Your children are going to go to hell. Your friends are going to go to hell. People in the workplace that come to you and you know that they're desperate. They're on drugs. They're into alcohol. They're having all kind of decadent problems in their life. And you give them a Gesundheit. Well, I'll pray for you. No, you've got to share the love of God with them. You've got to nurture them. You've got to win them over. You've got to do whatever you have to do to attend to the... That's the religious thing, by the way. You attend to them. And if you don't have the money to attend to them, somehow, some way, we as a church will help you with that. We need to win them over for the love of God. Amen? And then after you've won them over, And now you get them to the point where they trust you, have confidence in you. Here's part B. You bring them in so that they can hear and understand and be affiliated with the structure of the church, how God has ordained this church and what our church is all about, so that they could be part of it and they could find out where is their rightful place and the giftings and talents that God has placed in them, that they could come and they could be used mightily by God. Amen? So God has given that to me to give to you, because honestly, it's all about souls. The harvest is plentiful. God is looking for the harvesters. So you start out religiously, take care of them, nurture them, watch over them, comfort them, love them, let them have confidence in you. But then you start constantly proclaiming the name of God to them. Not my name, not the name of the church. You proclaim the name of God to them. You tell them about Jesus Christ. You tell them about all the things that God wishes to do in their life, how he wants to straighten them out, that he is well able. Amen? Because how is it, church, we can go an entire year and we can rub elbows with people in our home, outside our home, in the workplace, and we can tell people all kind of things and have all kind of conversations with people. And we know that they're hurting and we know that they're not saved, but we never open up our mouth. And when you don't open up your mouth, what you're actually saying without saying it is this: go to hell. That's what you're saying. Because if you don't open your mouth and proclaim Christ, they will never hear the truth of the gospel and they will never have faith. And it's by faith that you are saved by grace. Amen. So you have to get out there and you have to, whatever it takes, you have to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called you. He equipped you. You have an utterance inside of you. It is a powerful tool, a powerful gift that's already inside of you to go into the various regions where God has already proposed, where your footsteps have already been appointed. And he says, go. When you go, it's yours for the taking. It's already yours because I've already appointed it long before I ever created you, because I saw that there were going to be people that were going to be going to hell. But I'm putting you in their path, that you could be my ambassador to appeal with the same pleading that Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5:20. I plead that you come and join together with Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Are you in agreement? Are you willing to do it? Has anybody ever done it?
Yes.
Okay. You have to continue. Everyone. And don't be wishy-washy. Because if you're wishy-washy, your words will also be wishy-washy. Nobody's going to listen to you if they see that you are not totally sold out to Jesus Christ. Amen? Your actions will speak as loud as your words. So we need to recognize that. We need to get on board. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this beautiful day. Father, I know that, Father God, that you've laid it on my heart that you're brokenhearted over how the church is not fulfilling the obligation to go out and win the lost. Father, you have given us this beautiful ministry of reconciliation. We have hidden it under a bushel basket. And we believe that we're saved and we get by people that really are struggling. And we think, well, somebody else will take care of them. Another pastor will come, another evangelist, another missionary. No, you are the missionary. And so, Lord, I know that you've called each and every one of us to the mission. A mission of this reciprocity, Father, that we will come and we will reconcile people back to you. So, Father, let us not be hesitant into the call. Let us do what you've called us to do. And within 12 months, oh my goodness, if you can't save one soul, oh my goodness, I can't even put an adjective to what the Lord would say about you. One soul in a 12-month period is all that it would take. Father, I thank you for this day. We give it over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's my water. Oh. Yeah, I was dying of thirst. So what happened? He leave. Let me shut this off. Was he there this morning?